Today is the 27th August 2018. Today I'm interviewing Chris and Christine Hawley on their family. They have a long association growing strawberries and as pioneer mushroom growers in Havelock North. Chris, would you like to tell us something about your family, please?
Okay. My grandparents, Fred and Elizabeth, moved to Arataki Road in 1935. Bought a experimental horticulture block, which was on a government 99-year lease. And the orchard was replanted, from what I understand on what I've read. The orchard was pulled out when they took over and was replanted. Grandfather originally came from England and was schooled in Wellington. Grandmother was a local girl. And from there, they had one child, which was my father, Philip John, who went to, no doubt, Havelock School and Hastings Boys High School, I assume. During the First World War, Grandfather was too young to go, but he served in the New Zealand Home Guard. And anyway, after 1935, when they purchased the Arataki block, Dad married his next-door neighbour, Phyllis Wilson, and we're assuming 1942. I'm not sure of the date. Dad went to Canada as a trainee bomb aimer for the New Zealand Air Force. Didn't actually get to war because his training finished as war finished. When he came back home, he worked for the State Advances in Napier for a period and then left State Advances to become a postie at Havelock North so he could work on the orchard at home. And their spare hours during the day. Some stage after that, he shifted a house from Karamu Road in Hastings, where Toyota is today. It was cut into sections and transported to Havelock and eventually erected on his parents' orchard. Some stage or other after that, along came my sister Carolyn, and then I followed a little while later. During this time, Dad dabbled with strawberries, and eventually, over the years, strawberries became the main focus of the property. The original homestead block they purchased alongside title from the Gruby family, who were long residents of Arataki Road, and prior to me leaving school in, I'm not sure when, purchased the title on the corner of Arataki and Brookvale Road, which we live in at this stage. My sister Carolyn has had two girls, Leanne and Joyce, and we've had four girls, Paula, Michelle, Katrina and Charlotte.
Now, just going back a bit, you went to school in Havelock North?
I went to school at Havelock North Primary School until the year Tomato School opened, and I was the oldest class that started at Tomato School under the principal of Dudley Shepherd. I had 3 years at Tomato School before I went to Hastings Boys High School. Christine went to Parkvale School, then she went to Hastings Girls High School.
I went to Hastings Intermediate.
Oh, Hastings Intermediate, sorry, and then Hastings Girls High School. Neither of us went through to university. I came home and worked. When I left school, Dad offered me a chance to come home and work with him, and that was part of the reason that he bought the existing property that we currently live in.
Why did he choose strawberries?
That I'm not sure. I think it was to try and create a little bit more income because the orchard didn't create a lot of income, and they started off with just a few strawberries and I think, if I remember rightly, a few raspberries. Also had a glasshouse, which was shifted from William Street in Hastings, which they grew hothouse tomatoes. So it turned out to be a mixed block of land.
Must have been very hard initially to have grown stuff on because water wasn't plentiful here. Where did you get your water from?
The first attempt to get water was at a well behind the packing shed and the drill broke. So Dad had purchased a property that is now the existing tomato mushrooms and a well was sunk on that property and pumped up to a swimming pool which Dad built, and then the land was irrigated from that.
That was a block of land that lay between the Hawley land and the Satherley land, was it?
Yes, there was four county holding stockyards.
That's right.
In between. It also had peach trees mainly, a few plums.
You forget these things over time.
Yeah, that's before Christine's time.
I can't pick strawberries for a bit.
And so you started working with Father Phil. Where did you meet Christine?
Well, unbeknown to me, Christine had come to work for Mum and Dad picking strawberries. To be truthful, she got the sack.
No, I was intermediate, and they didn't want intermediate kids anyway.
So, anyway, to cut a long story short, I eventually met Christine at midnight one night in Hastings at what used to be called the Knick Knack. Christine was on her way home from the dance in Napier top hat. She was having something to eat, and I helped myself to some of her food.
And that's how it started. Well, it's surprising how many started at places like the Knick Knack and Top Hat. I interviewed Bernie Meredith, who used to own Top Hat, and they used to have 1,800 people there on a Friday night.
I never used to go there very often, but this night.
They used to have to shut the door.
But there's nothing for young ones like that today.
So now, Christine, where did your parents come from to Hawke's Bay? Were they local people?
No. I was born in Nelson. Yeah, I was born in Nelson. Mum was born in Collingwood over Takaka, and she grew up in Takaka at Pahara Beach. Dad was born in Christchurch, and he grew up in 1900, he was born. And he grew up there, and I'm not sure when he moved. Then he moved to Nelson, but he was a beautiful ballroom dancer when he was young, and he used to work in one of the, I'm not sure whether it's Bees, there was two big clothing department stores, and they used to do window dressing and things like that in those days.
In Nelson?
No, in Christchurch. Yeah, all his family were from Christchurch. But then his sister and her husband ended up going to Nelson and having a hotel. They had the Trafalgar Hotel.
Well-known place.
It was a lovely old hotel.
Yes.
And Dad met Mum at the Trafalgar. Dad had been married previously in Christchurch and had a son, and his sister tended to have more to do with bringing up Eddie than Dad in time, but Dad divorced his first wife when he met Mum in Nelson. Mum went from Takaka to Nelson to work, and she was housekeeper, cleaning, working in the hotel. I'm not sure what, I can't remember what year Mum and Dad got married, but we were in Nelson.
So did you go to school in Nelson?
I went to Auckland Point School until I left.
Is that in Nelson?
Yeah, it's a primary school.
Never
in Nelson.
Heard of it.
Yeah, Auckland Point. It's around near the, you go around Trafalgar Park, it's not far from it, and you go around to the port. It's sort of that area. We lived on a bit of a hill, Arrow Street I lived in, near Washington Valley. And then, yeah, my sister went to Auckland Point and to Nelson Intermediate. Then we left in November 1958.
And came straight to Hastings?
Yeah, well, sort of. They were looking, and we stayed with my nana in Waipawa for a few weeks. I had a couple of weeks of school in Waipawa until I found a house in Hastings. And then after that, it was Hastings, and then here.
And so what did you do when you left school?
Oh, I worked at Macaris.
Did you? Isn't it amazing? Old names, you forget about them.
Yeah, I was working
on the corner.
Yeah, well, he had the three shops. He had
That's
the
right.
main one. I worked there. Sometimes I'd go down to the separate shop on the other corner, opposite the railway lines. And then in the 60s, a bit later, he opened a little shop called 17 for the young
That's
fashion.
Right.
And I'd go in there, and then I'd help Miss Johnson do the accounts, do the banking, and then met him. And then
did you play any sport when you were at school?
Yeah, I used to love running, athletics, sprinting mainly, and high jumping.
Did you have any cups?
No, but I played hockey. I did gymnastics, and I did a lot of gymnastics in Nelson before we shifted up here. I used to love swinging on the bars. I was a monkey.
Yes, I think it might have been the Karen family bought a walking
beam.
Oh, yes.
We had that for Paula.
But you couldn't run fast enough to get away from the lad.
No, I used to like playing hockey and playing softball. I was playing those when I met him.
That brings us back to reality and work and the things that happened from that point. Right, Chris, it's all yours again.
Yeah, so eventually we had strawberries in both the Groovy block and, if I remember rightly now, it was Tea House that had this place that Dad bought it off. And We had strawberries right up to the boundary of our house.
Is that a duck pond or a swimming pool?
It's a pond.
It's a pond. It's a fish pond. Mm. We had a shag come in, and to cut a long story short, we came home from Mexico 3 months ago, and we had a shag in there helping itself to the fish. So I covered it, and then we took the cover off about 2 weeks ago, and
he showed his face
showed
again.
His face again, so I covered it up again. Yeah. So anyway, we get back to the strawberries, and eventually Dan had a very good friend, Stuart Speeden, who had a block of strawberries opposite what used to be Nimmin's bus sheds in Middle Road, on the corner of Lucknow and Middle Road, and they had the strawberry block across the road. And eventually from there they went to Tomato Munga Territory Road and had strawberries there as well. And Dad and Stuart started growing strawberry runners, which are the plants that you plant each year together, in a block of land in River Road, belonged to Sandy Lowe. From there they formed a partnership called Tomato Nurseries in 1969, which eventually became Tomato Growers in 1970, and in 1969-70 they built, around about that time they had a total of 26 acres of strawberries between the two of them. They leased a block of land from my uncle, Bob, who was Mum's brother, and Frank's mother's brother. So it's a real family area around here. So they had two paddocks of strawberries there. They had a very wet summer one year and lost a lot of income. So during the winter, Stuart and Dad went for a trip around New Zealand to decide what else they could grow. They were looking at mushrooms, because Stuart had grown mushrooms in England just after the war. So eventually they came back from their trip around the North Island and decided that they would invest in some mushrooms. The first shed that they had was back on the block of Sandy Lowe's. That was a shed that he built himself a yacht in, which he eventually sailed around the world. And the trays were 3 foot by 2 foot, stacked 7 high by hand. I helped at that stage, and then from there I think it was only 12 months later, they built a block of sheds on Stuart's block on Tomato Mungatry Road, 4 growing sheds, and a block of sheds on Dad's Arataki Road block.
Just pause there for a second and go back to the strawberries. It was a very big operation. How did you get rid of them? Were they sent to auction?
In those days, the strawberries, if they were packaged into punnets, they all went, 99% went to auction in virtually all the markets in the North Island. The ice cream companies, we had contracts of so many ton, so we were doing Tip Top and Blue Moon, and there was another one I can't think of. But they were some major contracts which got rid of some of the rain damaged or whatever fruit. Staff was not the easiest thing to get. At one stage when we had the 26 acres, they ran up Nimmin's bus from Hastings to bring the staff out to start work at 6 in the morning. Picked 7 days a week except for Christmas Day.
What sort of tonnages were you talking about?
I can't remember how many tons of strawberries we picked, but I know for the Christmas markets we would have 2 or 3 ton of strawberries packaged just ready to go to auction for the main auction day prior to Christmas. We were probably picking, with the 26 acres of strawberries, at least 100 ton of strawberries.
And how did you get those to the various markets?
We transported them by truck to the Hastings railway station, and then in the days of efficient railway, well, as efficient railway as you could get, they were then transported north and south and to the various markets.
Yes, because you wouldn't pass over the strawberry growing effort, but it was one of the biggest strawberry growing enterprises in Hawke's Bay, if not New Zealand.
Oh, it was the biggest in Hawke's Bay by 100% at least. Bill Scott's block down Te Ati Road was the second biggest and is still actually producing strawberries today. They probably would have been within the top five strawberry producing blocks in the country.
And so then once you were phasing out of strawberries, the story starts again.
So at the same time as running these four blocks, all these sheds of mushrooms, we also had pick your own peas, coomeras, golden queens, tomatoes and various other crops. The compost was all produced at Arataki Road, and then the filled trays were transported to Stewart's Block on Tomatamunga Territory Road, and when they were finished cropping there, they were brought back to Arataki Road and the trays were emptied and carried on. The initial sheds at Sandy Lowe's were only in production there probably for 2 or 3 years. The growing sheds in Arataki Road and Tomatamunga Territory Road continued for some time afterwards. Probably within 2 years of building those ones, the block of land where tomato mushrooms is now, they erected 10 more growing sheds, and the trays were transferred still by truck down the hill each week. In the early stages, when they first started, there were 67 mushroom production farms in New Zealand. This would eventually reduce to, when we sold the farm, I think there was 8. The farm was sold to Michael Whittaker 3 years ago.
To achieve the extra sheds you built, you bought an adjoining property belonging to the Satherley estate, didn't you?
It had been sold from the Satherley's estate to Tim Thompson had one block,
yes,
and Gordon Kinnear had
that's
the other.
Right.
They bought it off. I'm not sure whether it was subdivided by David Hunt. No, it must have been by off the Satherley estate. And a new compost yard was established on one of those titles, allowing us to eventually produce 20 tonne of mushrooms a week. The Kamada Mushrooms name was established in 1990 and still is current. And the farm has been growing mushrooms for over 50 years now.
So you would have provided a lot of employment for a lot of part-time people.
Well, with both the strawberries and the mushrooms, probably 25% of the kids in Havelock have worked for the enterprises over the years. A lot of the local families, their children, have all started work as either strawberry pickers or strawberry packers or mushroom pickers.
That's right.
The mushroom farm, when we sold, we had about 20 permanent workers and 100 casual workers. Probably today has still got approximately the same staff, might be slightly less.
You used to transport these mushrooms to the market with your own truck at one stage.
Yes, originally they were either transported by refrigerated truck by private trucking companies. In the initial stages, and the same applied to strawberries, two main markets in New Zealand were Monday morning and Thursday morning. So the bulk of your produce was arranged to arrive for both those two sales, with very limited quantities going for the other days. At one stage, because of our production on the mushrooms, we ran our own truck to Auckland for a numerous number of years, twice a week, leaving here 4 o'clock on Sunday to arrive in Auckland in time for the markets on Monday morning, and returning on Monday back home Monday night. And the same driver would go back to Auckland again on Wednesday for Thursday's market. Eventually, the supermarkets dictated that they required fresh produce 6 or 7 days a week. So this basically ruled out running our own truck, because we didn't have the quantities and we couldn't run the truck 7 days a week. So it then changed to going with, in the early stages, Road Air transported a lot and various other refrigerated companies.
Just going back to Phil and Phyllis, your parents, Phil spent quite a lot of time in Havelock North Rotary Club. And the other thing that he used to do, and I think you may have caught some of this often, and that's travelling around countries in big buses.
No, we don't like travelling in camper vans. We've travelled numerous parts of the world, but camper vans are not our My sister, yes, they live in a camper van, in a bus, and have basically had camper vans for several years.
You had a...
No, Dad had a camper.
Well, it wasn't a camper, it was a great big moving house.
Yeah, no, we never actually owned one. Carolyn and Roger inherited that of Dad.
But you've got a caravan, though.
We have a caravan at Clifton.
A mobile one.
Yes, we have an annex alongside it, and we also fish with a floating trailer out of Clifton.
Yeah. Mm. Right, so there came a point in time, as you said, to make a change.
The tomato mushrooms company was originally started by my father and Stuart Speedon, with my mother and Mary Speedon as shareholders, and then Michael Speedon, son of Stuart, and myself became partners, and at a later date, Martin. The shareholding was always a 50-50 split between the two families. So after Stuart passed away and Mary passed away and Dad had passed away and Mum had passed away, the company was run by Michael, Martin and myself. The holding was still based on the original 50-50 family split, 50% Speedon's, 50% Horn. As we were all approaching, as we should say, retirement age, all getting into our 60s, we decided that we had 18 months of virus on the farm, which very nearly sent us broke.
In the mushrooms?
In the mushrooms. From there we recovered and decided that we would put it on the market. We had various interests, from con men to people that wanted to swap sections on Cowow Island, and eventually it was purchased by Michael Whittaker, the son of ex-mayor of Havelock, Jeff Whittaker. So the business has stayed within ownership of Havelock North. I was retained for a minimum of 18 months and Martin became CEO of the new company. Michael retired approximately 3 months after sale. I retired nearly 3 years after the company was sold. Yeah, and haven't regretted it.
Now, your four daughters, what are they doing these days? And what age are they now?
Well, Paula's the eldest. She's 48. And she's married to Jason, and they have a son, Daniel, and daughter, Emily. Daniel will be 21 in January. Emily's just turned 18. And she works at Best Travel in Hastings and has been there for,
Over 20 years.
She's always been in travel. Yes, she left school and worked at Murray Greens.
It's a name we've all forgotten too.
And then Maxine, she bought it. And then when Paula and Jason went overseas. And then when she came home, Christine and Bill wanted her at Best. Mm. And yeah, but she's also very involved with dancing because Emily is a dancer. Mm. And she helps out at the dance studio, Paula. She helps with the teaching, all sorts of things. And Emily's just done a dance production, which was great. And then we have Michelle. And she has a birthday date with Emily on the 23rd of August, and she's just turned 46. She's married to Marcus, big, tall, redhead. And they have two children. They have Jessica. She's 14.
Any redheads?
Jess is like more strawberry blonde than red like a dad. And Lachlan, who'll be 12 in December. And they're in Napier.
So they're all around home then?
Those two. Then we come to Katrina, who's 43, 75, she was born. And she's in Australia. She married Nah, who is Rarotongan. They lived in Alice Springs for quite a while before they shifted down Brisbane way. And they have a son, TJ, and he's 12. And then we have Charlotte. She's 38, and Charlotte has been a busy girl. When she left home, she was about 19, and she went to Australia. Prior to that, she was in Tauranga and did marine biology.
Prior to that, she spent 12 months in Chile as an exchange student.
Oh, so did Michelle. See, I thought about her. Michelle did an exchange back in the 90s. In Canada. But coming back to Charlotte, she had, after Australia, 4 years in the Maldives, working for the Four Seasons as their registered marine biologist. Lovely place.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
We did. Yeah. While she was there.
It cost us $12 for 10 days.
Yeah, all we had to do was find our airfares and go. We didn't have to pay for anything.
That's
all
lovely.
On Charlotte. Yes, so she did that, and then she got a bit restless there and came home for a few months and decided She wanted to buy a business that she'd seen in Mexico. And me and her tootled off to Cabo San Lucas and had a look, and she decided she would buy it. And so she went to Cabo, and she is still in Cabo. In between times, she met a man, and they've been together for a bit and have two little boys.
And so what sort of shop did she buy?
A dive centre to take people out. She's had a bad run, though, with hurricanes. Three big hurricanes. Right.
And corrupt Mexicans.
Oh, yes, yes, she's had a few.
To cut that.
Yes, and Oscar's her man's name. And little Oscar, the eldest one, it's three next birthday in April. And little Mateo, he'll be one in December.
Well, that's an incentive to go to Mexico, isn't it?
Yeah, we've been a few times.
We go about every 6 months at the moment.
So no wonder you're enjoying your...
So anyway, the sporting achievements of the kids, might as well have that. Paula did gymnastics, represented New Zealand and Australia and Hawaii.
And in New Zealand, three times. New Zealand team for gymnastics.
And Michelle, she rode horses, got into the Timberlands team for Hawke's Bay. She also ran for Havelock High School in various competitions around the country.
Road racing in the cross country, and she did very well in the school nationals.
Katrina was a Highland dancer, and Charlotte did horse riding, hockey.
Oh, all three. Michelle, Katrina, and Charlotte all played hockey.
So, yeah, we had a busy Saturday, and Paula used to train originally at Fitchley and Havelock, and then eventually went to Omni and Napier for most of her training and her competition days.
About 4 days a week. And when she turned 15 and was able to learn to drive, she took herself.
So what things haven't you told me about?
There's probably lots.
Certainly your family moved here and stayed here. You're very stable in the area.
Well, actually it's a very stable street because my grandparents moved here in 35. Ron Satherley, who's the next one up, has been here longer than that. And then Berry's at the Honey House further up the road are all long-term stayers, which is probably fairly rare today.
Okay, well, it's rather pleasant sitting here looking out on the live duck show at the end of the garden.
It's a wonder there hasn't been a tui come in. There's tui feeder there and the wax eyes have been in it.
All right. Well, look, I think probably we've gained most of it. So thank you, Chris and Christine, for sharing with Hawke's Bay. Who were these people? Thank you very much.
Thank you.